verse we're going to do. Eric's going to throw up on the screen. We were down in Kansas Friday and yesterday for a little bit to partake in their Bible conference that they held down at the Denison Bible Church. It's Bree and Jesse Seltman, as some of you know them, is where we were at. So we're going to kind of just do a quick recap overview of what was taught down there or what the topic was. And on the top of the screen, there is their website or their contact information that if you want to listen to the actual recordings. It was Roger Teeley from Washington, Joel, some of you know Joel LeBret, he's from actually Idaho, he's Roger's son-in-law, and then Doug Ray and from Montana, and then Jesse, I think, is doing a class this morning too. So those recordings will be on that website up there if you have time and you want to listen to them, and you'll see how close maybe my recap of all this can tie in there. So we're just going to recap that. It's kind of fun. We're gearing up for our conference that is this coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you don't have any plans or have some time Friday night, swing on in all day Saturday. We've got things going on. And then Sunday we're going to we'll have church like normal on Sunday too. So if that's what fits for your schedule. But it's kind of a neat opportunity to meet new people. I'd have to ask Callie for sure, but it was probably 10 years ago or so that we went to our first conference out in Montana. And from there, is personally speaking, our life, that's when things really started to gear up and kind of change. It just gave us an opportunity to look at things far different than what was normal and what we kind of were doing at the time. So I look back, I appreciate conferences. It spiritually, it changed my life. It was a time in my life when things were able to get real. So you never know. There's just different people that can speak to you differently and can work with you and maybe been in the situation that you are in or in just scenarios that are the same. And it puts you in a whole new friendship of people all over the country. I mean, there'll be people here at our conference from Washington, Montana, Idaho, Kansas, possibly Missouri, possibly Arizona, depending on if they can make it up or not. So it's going to, and there'll be people that don't go to this church that are in Iowa that'll be here. So it'll just give you an opportunity to meet and fellowship with many like-minded believers, which is cool because it's, I know a lot of you struggle with the same things that sometimes we do with, it's hard to find a fit. It's hard to, outside of church or outside of your activities that we may do, sometimes it just feels like it's just all, spiritually speaking, dark. You know, the people that we hang around with, the conversations that we have, nothing is spiritual, nothing's biblical. It's hard to have that fire and that that encouragement from one another. So these conferences are good to do that. If anything, it's an opportunity that you get to get a bonfire started in your soul. I was talking to Dale a little bit earlier that it goes into, he asked how the conference in Kansas was, and I said it's just funny to me because it all ties into everything. Even though it's far different from what we've been talking about in the book of Matthew, it all ties right into there what God's standards are and how we can do that. So, and I'm sure the way that the Holy Spirit works, our conference will be no different. It will tie into everything we've been covering the last few months. So let's just open up with a word of prayer. We'll let the Holy Spirit do His job. If we can just align ourselves with the standard of God, just examine our own souls, and if there's anything that's standing in between you and that fellowship with God, now is the time to confess those sins, to turn those over, so we can spend the next half hour in fellowship like we're intended to. Father, we just come before you with thankful hearts this morning that we're able to gather just one more time. We just never know when it'll be our last meeting that we get to be together or get to be able to do this. So we just thank you for allowing us to meet together this morning just to be encouraged and edified and built up by one another. We look forward to your teaching this morning, to whatever you've got for each one of us to hold on to. There's going to be something that we can all learn from and something that we can all glean from that'll be able to maybe make us look at our life a little bit different or our walk a little bit different and try to see what we need to be doing for you. You're just like the song said, there's 10,000 reasons, and there's reasons upon reasons, and there's eternity is years upon years of time that we will be able to just share in your glory, and your joy, and your comfort, and your peace. And we look forward to that. We truly do look forward to the time that we get to spend in eternity with you. And while we're here on this earth, we just want to make it count. We want to do things for you. We want to do things for your glory. And that's what we're here to learn, is what do you want us to do? What do you need us to be doing? And I just ask this morning that the Holy Spirit, you may be able to teach each one of us. You know what everybody, including me, needs to hear this morning. You know what will change us, which will work on us, which will chew on us just a little bit to be able to get us motivated to go out and serve you. So I just pray that we can do that this morning for the little ones downstairs as they learn about sin this morning and the ugliness of sin, but the simplicity of how they can just turn that over and confess it to you, that may be a game changer for them in their life. Just like us, we know sin can't hold us down forever, but you've died to set us free from those sins, and that's what we're able to do. And we just pray for those little ones downstairs that they can just take that as and build on their foundation of knowing that there's no sin too great to keep them from you. So we just want to pray for our upcoming conference, as we have many people traveling to our homes in our state this week, that you can just protect all of them. There's going to be many vehicles on the road with many valuable souls that will be here, and we just pray that you can make this next week and weekend valuable, make it enjoyable. Don't let us just be selfish and worried and whatever it may be about trying to uphold an image that we think we have to have. We just ask that you can allow us just to be comfortable with these new people and anybody that we don't know, that they're brothers and sisters that we have, that we don't even know, and this is going to give us an opportunity to see them. So we just pray that you can allow us maybe to look at our time different. You are the only one that's able to redeem time, and time spent for eternity is something far more valuable than what time spent here for things of this earth mean. And we just pray that you can help us be confident and comfortable enough to trust you when you say that you can redeem our time, that you will. When it's something that we can do that's important and valuable for you and for your people. So we just ask that you can clear our schedules, you can clear our to-do list, and just allow us this time to fellowship with one another. And we just pray for all the sick ones that we have out there, that you can just heal them, you can bring them comfort and peace like only you can. We pray for this nation as a major decision is coming up here this week, that ultimately we may be okay with your will. Your will is going to take place, and we just pray that we can see that, we can adapt to it, we can be part of it. We can just be open to whatever you need us to do with however this looks. I just pray that you can just continue to expose the evil this week in this nation, and that you may bring it to light so it can come forth in this election, that anything that needs to change can be changed. As we talked about the last few months, it's your standards that we need. It's your standards that this nation needs. And I just pray that you put people into position that obey your standards and not their own agendas, but just make them people after your own heart, and just get this nation back to a nation that puts you first on the pyramid. Father, I just again pray that this morning we just may use it as time well spent. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So the conference theme, if you will, and so how conferences work, if none of you know that or have been part of one or came to one, it's no different than what we do with ours. It is a theme that is picked, or a verse in the Bible, something that can be expounded on. There's no agenda, if you will, or guidelines for these pastors to follow. Basically, it's picked just like on the screen, where it's the three functions of the believer: the priesthood, the ambassadorship, and the ministry. And these pastors then can go into that, and they can bring out of there and draw out of there whatever the Holy Spirit brings upon them to convey to us. And so that is what the Kansas Conference was the three functions of the believer, which is priesthood, ambassador, and ministry. What are we supposed to be doing as a believer? How are we supposed to be functioning? And anytime you look at somebody tells me this is a function, number one, do I understand what a function really is? What am I supposed to be doing? Okay, it says priesthood and ambassador and ministry, but great, what does that mean? Function, if you go, I like to use the Webster's 1828 dictionary, is what I like to use. It's in a general sense, the doing, executing, or performing of anything. Or it's the office or employment or any duty or business belonging to a particular station or character or required of a person in the station of character. So if you look at what we are as believers or followers of Jesus, a good way to look at it is we are being employed by Jesus. So when we look at these, we can say we've all had jobs, we've all had to punch time clocks before, we've all had to do something for somebody. And when we're doing a job for somebody, we need to ask, what do you expect of me? What do you require as my function in that job? So if we look at, we are followers of Jesus, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, what do you expect us to do? What's my function as running around saying, I am supporting you, I am yours, I am employed by you, what are you, if I look at it from the employee standpoint, what are you paying me to do? But with Jesus, we're obviously not getting paid. We have the free gift of salvation. And with that comes along, what do you want us to do with it? What do you expect me to do as a follower of you? Yeah, it sounds good. I can call myself a Christian. People know I'm a Christian. I can say it. I can do what I want. But what do you want me to do, right? So what's our business in representing Jesus? And number one, priesthood, it gives us a relationship with our boss. Don't be scared by the word priesthood, okay? Biblically, you know, you look at that and you're like, oh, I'm not a priest or I'm not whatever has to do in that authority of position or whatever. Don't be scared by that word. You think of biblically, when the Bible was written in the cultural times that it was, before Jesus, there were the priests that had to do things in the tabernacle to have you in your relationship with God. They were the mediator between you and God. That's a good word for it. As a mediator between you and God was a priest. Okay? Those days are long gone. That day ended when Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was finished and the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. It's like probably a 9-inch, they think somewhere around a 9-inch thick cloth woven together, weaved, that obviously you wouldn't even be able to tear. That isn't even 9 inches, but try to figure tearing something that thick. Okay? So the picture being torn from the top to the bottom was God saying, that is enough. I am open to you now. That veil is torn. That veil was covering the holies of holies, the Ark of the Covenant, where the priest would have to go into. I would have to go to the priest and say, hey, I'm going to bring you my sacrifice. This blood that I'm going to shed is for all, or this animal is going to shed for me is for all my sins, all the things that I committed. I'm going to give this sacrifice. You then, on my behalf, are going to take that blood in, go in and atone that to God for me. Okay? And that was behind the veil. Well, God says, who is our mediator? Who is our sacrifice? Who is our atonement for our sins? It's Jesus Christ. Okay? And how do we know that? Is that he tore that veil. What an awesome picture that was. That veil kept us from seeing that. Because we weren't good enough to go in there. The priest was the elected official to go in there for us. We couldn't go in there. But God says, no more, because my son was enough. He is a good enough sacrifice for you. He took care of your sins. He is our mediator now between us and God. So God tore that veil, opened that up, and our priesthood then gives us a direct relationship with God. So we can all say, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have that freedom of that priesthood to go to God whenever we want. That's the simplicity of a priesthood. Is it gives us a face-to-face relationship with God. And that was something that when Roger was talking that he brought up was the face-to-face with our Creator. See, back in the Old Testament times, that was unheard of. You could not do that. So we have that ability to be face-to-face with our Creator. So it's a relationship. The death of Christ and the tearing of the veil eliminated all the obstructions to God, which was different from the law. And that is not just me saying it or my opinion on it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God And there is one mediator between God and men, and that is Christ Jesus. So it's not me, in my opinion, that that's how the veil was torn and why it was torn. That's why it was torn, period. It's Christ Jesus as that mediator. We don't need that. So some religions today muddy that because they still say you have to go confess your sins to somebody, or you have to go tell somebody this to bring you before God, or they will pray for you and do a... Sorry, it's not that way. Jesus Christ is the one mediator. We have our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God. There's nobody in between us. Okay? So, if you picture the Old Testament, this was kind of cool. The tabernacle, Joel was going through this down there, and he was taking the different pictures of what the tabernacle was and all the different functions of the pieces of furniture and the different things within this tabernacle on what it looked like, right? And the biggest thing about it was you can't just barge into that tabernacle. Okay, they were serious enough about it that they would tie a rope around the priest. So if that priest was unclean when he went in there, they had a way to pull him back out of there when he died. And there's records of two people before Aaron, Moses' brother Aaron, two priests that died that way. One went in after the other, and they ended up pulling both of them out dead. That's how serious it was. Okay, so we would have that if we were back in that time. We would have that as God is holy. We know that. It's no different than today that God is holy. And we can't just barge in there on God unless we know His Son. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, there's no veil anymore, right? So what does that allow us to do? We can barge in there whenever we want. How cool is that? That you look at the holiness and the righteousness of God and how awesome that is, but how righteous that is, that in that picture of that holy environment, that the people who weren't cleaned and did not confess themselves right or do the things that God told them to do correctly, and they died. That's a holy God. They were walking on holy ground, and they were unholy. They were unfit to be able to do it. And the thing is, we are unfit to do it. We truly are. But we have that freedom through Jesus Christ as our mediator to barge in there and go to God whenever we want. That is such a cool thing about Jesus. See, our personal relationship with Jesus allows us to be able to do that. So if we look at our employer, and you look at a boss sitting in a desk that's unapproachable, sometimes you have to go to somebody underneath of that boss that reports directly to that boss, and I have to talk to that guy first before I can talk to my boss, or maybe I can't even talk to my boss. You can look at it as Jesus is that way. He reports to God. He says, guess what? I died on that cross, so you can have a direct relationship with the boss. There's not anything, there's no door that closes out on and off that we can't come in and just, how awesome, how many things that you look at the worldly view of it, how many things in this world from a business standpoint would be better if an employee could just go in and talk to a boss and say, this is what's happening, this is what needs changed, I'm out here working in it, I have an idea, let's change it this way and we'll make this system run smoother. But they can't get access into that boss to be able to have a conversation with them and talk to them. So spiritually, guess what? If we don't have Jesus Christ in our life, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're no different. You don't have that access. But if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now have access to go into your boss, to be able to communicate with him, have that relationship with him, so then you can go out and function as you're supposed to. And you can have that relationship to talk back and forth and say, how do you want me to do this? This is what I need help with. This is what it looks like. Help me out. Do this. And that's the standards that we've been covering in the whole book of Matthew so far, is do I understand my boss's standards better if I have a relationship with my boss? I sure do. But if I don't have a relationship with him, how am I ever going to know what to do with his standards? Okay? So, just something I took from that down there when I was talking about the rope and they were tying people back. Do we take, because obviously they took that serious. They were serious enough about the holiness of God that they tied a rope to a person to be able to tie them, to pull them back out. Do we take the word of God that serious in our life to tie a rope around our own waist? Because that's how holy God's word is. God's word is holy enough and meaningful enough. That's that fear. And it's not to be fearful, because the Bible tells us fear is a sin. So what do you mean when it says to fear God? It's that awe and respect of his standards and his character and his holiness and his righteousness. To know that he can kill me deader than dead and somebody'd have to pull me out of there. I know God has the power and the authority to do that in my life. So I'm to respect that in awe of him. Do I take his word and do I do that? Or do I just, we talked a little bit about throwing the pearls to the swine. Do I just take his word and throw it out wherever, however, and trample it under my feet, and my lifestyle doesn't reflect anything about God's word being holy? So we can be face to face with our Creator because of the work Jesus, because of the work that Jesus did, which then allows us to have access to God whenever. And as we said, an unbeliever does not have that access. So the priesthood, we have that. It's our direct relationship with God. It allows us to be face to face with God. So then if we're, say, what's our business in representing Jesus? It's to be a conduit that transfers God's love, God's mercy, so others can know him. That's our job. That's called an ambassador. It's to be, think of how a conduit works. My mind goes to electrical. I'm getting this wire from that switch to that light somehow. If it's in a metal building, I got to use a conduit. So I'm getting it from there to there. How am I getting God's word to people? God's giving it to me. I'm giving it out to them. I have it. You can picture the cross. I have it here, my relationship here. My job here is to spread it out to people. Okay? So an ambassador is what? It's a representative of a higher authority. Who are we being an ambassador of? Who's our higher authority? Well, Jesus Christ is our higher authority. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So God works through us so others can recognize him. Right? It's a daily opportunity that we have. God has set before us these good works. And it's up to me what I'm going to do with them. God has set all these good works before us. He's the best picture of an ambassador, Jesus Christ is, because he's doing God's work. What's our relationship with him? Look at what we can learn from the work that Jesus Christ did. So we look at it and say, what can others learn from us with the work of Jesus Christ that he's done in our life? How are we going to channel that through a conduit to our 6 feet and to the people around us? And that's the cool thing about conferences, is you get to come together with all these different people all over this nation, and you get to talk to one another. You get to go back and forth about stuff. You get to talk about stuff. Different experiences, different life problems, different things. How'd they handle this? What worked? What are you seeing? What are you doing? How is God working in your life? So, which then brings us to a ministry. So we have the priesthood. We are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, which then brings us to our ministry. What are we to be doing, right? So the question of it all that I have with myself, that I have to ask myself all the time, is how do I abide with him and put all the things of the world away? That's the million-dollar question that we all should have. That if we're honest with ourselves, that's our problem. We have 1 foot over here in the world, and we have 1 foot here in our spiritual realm. Because we want to be an ambassador. We want to do things right. We want to promote Jesus Christ. But I got 1 foot that's stuck in the world, and I don't know how to do it. Because I can't get away, because this just pulls me and pulls me and pulls me, and this is what I want to do. So we have to realize that we're his workmanship. We're not our own. And like we said, our best example of an ambassador is Jesus Christ. The good work set before us, the Bible says, was Jesus Christ. What was that good work? What was his ministry? You look at everything we covered in the Sermon on the Mount. What was Jesus' ministry? How do I abide in that? We've covered it with the whole Sermon on the Mount. We think we're stuck here because this is what the world says we have to do. But Jesus said, no, this is my standard. This is what I expect of you. He gives us those rules, if you will, or those ideas and those answers to those questions that we have. Well, how am I supposed to act in relation to this? Or how am I supposed to handle this situation? Jesus says, let me tell you, because the world tells you this way, but I tell you this way. So we have the answers right here to how do we abide? How do we do it? Follow with whatever he says. When you look through the Beatitudes, check your motives, have a pure heart, be in self-control, be peacemakers, take care of people, help people in relation to money and in relation to evil, in relation to everything that he covers in that Sermon on the Mount. He gives us those answers on how are we supposed to keep our foot out of the world so we can be a true ambassador of him. Because look at an ambassador of the United States in some country. If that person has one foot in that country and one foot in the United States, can they do a very good job being an ambassador? Because they're going to get tied into whatever problems that country has. Maybe it's evil, maybe it's good, whatever, but it's going to draw them out of the reason that they're there, being an ambassador for the United States, for whatever trade they're trying to continue, whatever relationship they're going to try to continue on, or whatever they're over there doing. You can't muddy the two. They wear an American flag because they're an American. That's what they're there. That's why there's safety behind that embassy gate, because it's considered American soil. You can't have one or the other. And that's what our ambassadorship looks like, is God doesn't want us to be one foot here and one foot there. We need to be able to be all in. But that's hard to do, because the American dream tells us that's not right. The world tells us that's not right. Well, you've got to screw this guy over to be able to get the advantage up on this guy. You got to make that guy look bad so you look better. You have to accomplish this so people see you this way. And obviously that's not the examples that Jesus gives us. So what did Jesus Christ do in his ministry? 1 Peter 2:23 says he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. We need to entrust ourselves and the things that we see that are unjust and the things that we see that we try to fix ourselves, we need to entrust those to God. We need to meet him where we're at. When it says face to face, that saying, when we come to God face to face, we need to meet him where he's at. He will meet you where you're at. We don't have to try to accomplish this. We don't have to try to get better at this. We don't have to do this first and cross this off the list first. You need to meet him where he's at right now in your life. That's the ask, seek, knock. That's the behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He's waiting for you. You just got to answer, open the door. And there was a cool thing Joel talked about Peter, that when Peter went to sit down and Jesus was going to wash his feet, and Peter goes, no, you don't understand where I've been. You can't wash my feet. You're my master. You're my Lord. Think of that picture of the dirtiness and the filthiness that his feet would have been in them days. They wore sandals around. They dumped their sewers and their toilets right out in the street. They walked around flip-flops or whatever they had for sandals, that their feet were dirty and gross. That's why they washed people's feet before they went into their home. So here's Jesus saying, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter's saying, no. You don't want to go where I've been. Sure he does. Jesus is already with you wherever we go anyway. Wherever we go anyway. But there's things in our life, my brain goes to, then there's things in our life that we need to cut off, that we say, no, Jesus, you don't want to go there anyway. I'm okay with going there, but Jesus, you just hang back because it's too dirty and filthy for you to go there. I don't want you to be part of that. I don't want you to have to worry about cleaning that stuff off my feet, because that's bad. And we're all guilty of that. That there's things in our lives that we check Jesus over here, knowing that we're checking him over there, and yet we go forth and walk in that slop anyway. But the cool part about it is that he still will wash us clean. He still has the blood on the cross when he died for our sins. Our sins that we spit on him when we said, hey, I'm going to go over here and do this, or I'm going to open that up on my phone and I'm going to look at that, or I'm going to talk about that person behind their back. I'm going to gossip about this person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do whatever to get my full advantage. Jesus, you just stay over here because I'm doing this for me and my earthly stuff right now to make me feel better and look better. He still forgives us for that. That's the good thing about it. But we, as ambassadors, and our ministry to people, what are people going to think when they look at us like that? That's the hypocrisy that being a Christian so often includes around, I'm a Christian, well, that means you're a hypocrite. In the world's eyes, Christians are some of the biggest hypocrites because they have one foot in the world and they have one foot in spiritual world, their spiritual life. And they say, everybody knows I go to church. I make sure everybody knows I go to church. I wear this type of clothing. I put this on Facebook. I put this on my coffee cup so everybody knows that I follow Jesus. But yet, when my foot is in the world, that person who does not know Jesus that I am supposed to be an ambassador to looks at me and says, if that's your God and you act that way, I want nothing to do with your God. So therefore, Christians are labeled a hypocrite. And it's so true. And we all can say, yep, been there, been the guilty one. Yep, I've done it. If I'm the picture of somebody's Jesus, they have one very skewed image of who Jesus is. And I'm guilty of that. We all are at times. But that is the awesome part, that then God didn't smack us down and have to have somebody pull us out with that rope. Jesus says, whoa, I'm the mediator. I'm the one, even though that sin was ugly and that was bad, I'm the one who died for him. So guess what? I have that direct access as a priest to my Father. Okay? So, we need to entrust ourselves in the things that we see that are unjust that we try and fix ourselves. We need to turn them to God. We need to submit to Him, be humble to Him, and magnify His name. How do we magnify His name? We keep our foot where it belongs. Because when we're trying to magnify His name, when I'm three sheets to the wind sitting on the bar stool, like I've been before, and telling somebody about Jesus, was I magnifying His name? Probably wasn't, was I? I thought I was at the time, but I sure wasn't. Father, glorify Your name through the circumstances in my life. That was a saying. Father, glorify Your name through the circumstances in my life. It will then be good no matter what then goes on in my life. If I can use whatever circumstance in my life to glorify Him, it's going to be good. He says it's going to be good. It says, for all things work together for good for those who love Him. If I'm glorifying His name, no matter how shitty my situation is, how bad it is, how deep it is, how dark that valley is, how low that valley is, but I can still glorify His name, even if I die in that battle, and I can still glorify Him, it will be good. That's what our life is supposed to be. That's the circumstances that we have in our life. That's what they're meant to do, to glorify Him. Use our challenges, our struggles, our situations to glorify Him, because by glorifying Him, it is our ministry to be better ambassadors to those people around us that don't know who Jesus is. There's a reason that everybody, including me, is in this building today. It's because somebody was an ambassador of Jesus to me. Somebody was an ambassador of Jesus to you. Therefore, you are here. Do you like the information that you feel like you have? Do you like the fact that you feel secure in your salvation? It's a good feeling. That's why we can have that joy no matter how deep the valley is. Because we know the end of the story. We know we are secure and we cannot lose that. So it changes our outlook. Do you not want to give that joy and hope to somebody else? You like it. You enjoy it. I like it and I enjoy it. Don't I want other people to know they have it too? That's being the ambassador, and that's part of our ministry. That's what we're supposed to do. Our ministry is to cause people to find joy in their salvation. God, what do you want me to be doing? Help people see the joy in their salvation. Even if they already know who Jesus is, that's what's cool about these conferences. You'll be lifted up by somebody that you didn't even know was possible or you didn't even know. Somebody in another state will probably be able to lift you up and help you find joy in your salvation. That is what we need to be doing to the people at our 6 feet. I know it sounds like that's, it's like, what are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to be helping people? What are we supposed to be doing? Instead of beating somebody down, build them up. Give them that joy and that hope in their salvation. Hey, guess what? I know this situation sucks, but we know the end of the story. We can fight through this together. I can help you because as a follower of Jesus, being an ambassador of Jesus, I'm supposed to help you. The peacemaker that I talked about in the Beatitudes, that's what we're supposed to. We're supposed to help. And I'm not helping you just because I want something. I'm helping you because I have a pure heart. And my motive to help you is good because I want to see, I want to help you see that Jesus is there for you like he was for me when I was in that situation. Our destiny is to be holy and blameless above reproach. Why? Because that's 1 Peter 2:9 says, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. We're sitting here because we were called out of the darkness. We can all say what we want about this world and the place that we live in. We know that it's dark. We know there's dark things in here. But being an ambassador of Jesus Christ, part of our ministry is to go get them people out of the darkness. And it may be people that fell off the wagon and they knew Jesus when they was in Sunday school, but they are totally far away from it now. Maybe God has placed a person like that in your life so you can help bring them back into what the light. Maybe that's it. But maybe it is that person who doesn't know Jesus, who has an object, a wall built up between them and God, that they can't just barge in and have that relationship like God with God like we can. Maybe they need to know who Jesus is so that way they can have their own personal relationship with him. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Everybody needs to know that. Everybody does. That's a verse. We can sit here and feel like we can feel and have the confidence that we have because of what Jesus Christ did for us. This world needs to know that too. Your people that you're at home with need to know that. Your people that you work with need to know that. Your people that you call your friends, that you care so dearly about. Don't you think that they need to know that? The wounds that they have, the same wounds that you have that you turned over to him, but they haven't yet, don't you think it's time for them to turn their wounds over to him? Because they're already healed. Let them know, hey, that wound ain't going to take you down forever. Have you heard about my friend named Jesus? Do you want a relationship with him like I have a relationship with him? So that way we can tag on in this together and I can help you like he's helped me. What are we representing? Who are we representing? Are we representing Jesus to somebody? And that, when we leave here, that needs to be our focus this week. Is what type of Jesus am I representing? Am I being the typical hypocritical Christian to these people that don't know who Jesus is? Or am I being that conduit that can show God's love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, all of that stuff that we learned about in the Sermon on the Mount? Are we being that to other people? So we have communion. We'll probably just do communion. We'll probably not do our prayer because we'll probably do prayer next week when everybody's here. So we'll carry on with communion. If Dale, if you want to...